Welcome to the Don't Blame the CRM podcast episode 20. And this time we're gonna have a bit of a different episode. Instead of Mikko, it's gonna be me, Armer, here speaking. And I'm having a guest here who is the top-notch RevOps and HubSpot expert, Walter. And maybe you could introduce yourself a bit in the beginning here.
Yes, Amar, thank you. I will. Yeah, my name is Wouter Dieleman from the Netherlands. I've been in the B2B marketing and sales space for over 10 years now. In the same period, also been working with HubSpot. So since 2014, I spent 5 years at an elite partner in the Netherlands, and I've been a freelancer for 3 years now, focusing on HubSpot account-based marketing, revenue operations, and any go-to-market strategies that go with it. And yeah, super really stoked to be here today and talk to you about how to do GTM and leverage HubSpot and data platforms like Vynu. So yeah.
So we have a lot to cover today, but I think we could start with the topic of sort of understanding your audience. Why is sort of TAM and ICP, I know that they're often ignored. Why are they so important, so crucial to get them right?
Yeah, great question. And it revolves around your budget allocation, right? So if especially if you have a bigger company in multiple verticals and you have a certain budget that you can spend on GTM, where are you going to allocate it? And quite often it's being put into the market where we have the most expertise, or we think that the market is biggest there. But what is actually crucial to know is, how big is that market in terms of revenue potential? And that is when you talk about the total addressable market. So what can I in totality generate in revenue there? And it relates to the clients that you have there, right? The ICP, the ideal client profile. And quite often this analysis is being skipped or done quite quickly. But it is so crucial because it determines a lot about the budget that you're going to allocate in a certain vertical. And doing that analysis, knowing like how big is this market in terms of potential customers and revenue is crucial.
The ideal customer profile has to be based on some real actual data points. For example, who are the most profitable customers for us, or who are the customers that align with our strategy the best way? And that's sort of strategic importance, and that helps you prioritize stuff and so forth. But there are other definitions as well. TAM, SAM, SOM. So you have the total addressable market, you have the serviceable available market, and then you have the serviceable obtainable market. How do you actually use them?
I'm going to open the screen a bit and also describe what we are looking at. So the first step in determining the markets that you can consider for your GTM strategy and your budget allocation is to do revenue distribution analysis. It all starts with looking at our current install base, our current customer base. Where is the most revenue coming from in terms of share? We are looking at that right now on the screen. And you combine that with also with a product market fit, right? So the amount of expertise you have in that vertical, are there any case studies that you can leverage, ambassadors? And this is a first analysis of your own customer base to have a starting point on in further determining the market that you should go after and allocate budget to. So in the example that we have on the screen here, we can see that, for instance, SaaS has the highest revenue distribution with 50% of the install base and 20% for education. What is so important is just based on this, you could say like, okay, SaaS, we should maybe just go after them, because we already have the most revenue there. And now we're looking at a different type of the strategy, which is the analysis for the total addressable market. So what you will typically do is you will take all of the ICPs, all of the target accounts that you have in a certain vertical, and divide them into tiers, right? So tier one is the most interesting type of ICP that you have. Tier two, also important, but a little less so. And tier three is usually accounts that you would not go after immediately, very actively. And what you would do is you would take the annual revenue, annual contract revenue for all of those different tiers and add them up. And that is how you will get a total addressable market, a number of what the true potential of that market could be. But what is very important to understand is that even though that this is the total potential revenue in that market, you might not be able to service all of them. And that is the TAM, SAM, SUM exercise that we always do. So the serviceable addressable market means that there are companies in there that you can actually help, right? And maybe for legal or compliance reasons, you cannot do business with a number of them. And that already excludes a part of your total addressable market. And if we take it one step further into the serviceable obtainable market, SUM, that is the amounts of ICPs that you can actually capture, that you can acquire, because it might be so that they are tied to a certain geographic region and therefore you cannot capture them because the headquarters is not in the right location or there are other disqualification criteria. And it is so important to look at the ones that you can actually service and obtain. So we are going back to our worksheet. And if you do that same analysis, so take your ICP in the three tiers and then look at the serviceable, obtainable market percentage, you can see very interesting outcomes here. In the sheet in front of us, when we look at this, just the TAM, so just the total market in education, that the number is around 30 million here. And if you reduce it to just the serviceable obtainable part, it goes down all the way up until 21. And sometimes you see it even turned around. And this is where it gets real interesting. In some examples, you see that if you just look at TAM, the number is higher for one market than it is for the other. But if you look at serviceable obtainable, sometimes the number can flip. So if we were to turn this around here, sometimes you will see in the outcome that the number is different when you look at serviceable obtainable. So that's why it's so important to use that analysis, right? And this is, and the data for this, and now we're getting back to this point, the data for this is crucial. And that is what I love about tools like Vinu, that you can really use the data to see how many ICPs do I have in a certain region. What if I cannot do business with accounts in Helsinki? Just an example. And the majority of your TAM is actually in Helsinki. That is what might exclude a lot of them from being serviceable, obtainable. And all of a sudden, another market might be better. And if you are a big company who has multi-100,000 euro deals and you're allocating a lot of budget, that can make a big, big difference. And that is the importance of understanding your ICP and what you can actually service and obtain.
What kind of data points do you generally use to define these, the SAM and the SOM?
Yeah. So a lot of this is really manual grinding, right? They go into the Chamber of Commerce systems, try to extract all of the accounts that are in a certain region. They pay people who do data extraction to come up with lists manually sourced. But quite often the data is incorrect or incomplete, hard to trust. And this is causing a lot of insecurity within CCOs, CROs, basically any revenue or GTM leaders allocating their budgets. Like I literally have had multiple experience where the CCO would say, I have stayed up until 3 a.m. at night just trying to get a picture of this market. This literally, I've heard it multiple times. It's like, that's how important it is. And it's also how difficult it is. And so at least the good CCOs, but like bigger SaaS, they understand that they need to do it. But the actual reliable data is very hard to find. And that is a big challenge. So anyone who can solve that is doing a great job.
And I would imagine that the implications of territory planning or investigating the market is pretty crucial for example, companies who want to raise funding need to really put the money in the right place, especially when you have investor money on the table. And you know, defining your strategy for the next years. And it's kind of scary that, you know, small errors in or actually they could be big errors, but sort of assumptions when it comes to data and data accuracy, mistakes or errors made in the beginning can have huge implications at the end. I mean, we might understand after a few years that, hey, by the way, maybe this could have been avoided by just having better data in the beginning. Or am I being like too paranoid here?
No, but definitely not. I have worked with SaaS scale-ups throughout Europe. And they would, for instance, go for Series B funding or have just secured it, multi-million investment rounds. And then there's a big pressure and need to allocate that capital, A, quickly, because you just need to start burning and growing, and B, allocating it, that's more important, right, efficiently. And this is where I've seen it go wrong, where like multi-million GTM budgets have been put into markets where after a while, they found out that, oh shit, we cannot even do business with quite a lot of companies in this territory if we only would have known earlier, right? And they found out when they actually started going after the accounts, like, oh, we cannot do business here. But you actually want to do that step in the beginning. And that is what I love about tools like Vinu, is you can front run that that problem. You can prevent it in your strategy planning, your territory planning.
How important it is to actually find out not only, you know, your TAM, not only understanding by your best customers the ICP, but also the serviceable available market and the serviceable obtainable market, to really not get blinded up by these these high level numbers. I think in many situations the serviceable obtainable market is hugely more useful information to make a decision on than just TAM.
Absolutely. And it's just you can do yourself a big favor by just incorporating that into your strategy already. Because business is about doing business, acquiring new customers. And you want to look at the customers that you can acquire. It's as simple as that, actually. So you forget about the whole TAM, SAM, SOM, because it might sometimes be confusing. But that's what it's all about. And the second layer is, I think we're going to segue into our next part of the episode, is after you've selected that market, also what account should I go after first, right? That is also where a lot of misallocation is being done in terms of campaign, target account selection for your campaigns.
We selected the right segments and we understand the importance of using good quality data in that. So what will be the next step when we decide that we have this segment A, segment B, segment C? How will we decide? Will we just go from alphabetically? Or how will we target them?
Yeah, exactly. So let's in our example say that we in the end have selected the SaaS vertical as the most obtainable and serviceable, and we are going after tier ones because they have the highest annual contract value, and they also have a substantial number of employees that can benefit from our services. Now, what a lot of salespeople would do, and it's quite natural, is to look at that list and say, oh, I would want these target accounts from this list to put in the campaign because, they would be a great fit for our business. And while that is important to look at good fit, it is even more important to look at the opportunity, right? So what, from those target accounts, who are the ones that we have the highest potential of closing them relatively quickly, right? We want to go for a sales cycle that is as short as possible. And the best way to do that is to look at engaged accounts. Accounts that have shown some level of interest, either with our sales reps or with our channels, right? For instance, website visits, communicating with our socials. So whenever I do an ABM campaign or a GTM campaign, we start off with the engaged accounts, the ones that are a bit further along in the buyer journey. And getting the data on those on the engagement, on the intent signals is crucial and is very hard to obtain. And it often creates an incomplete picture of who are the most engaged, right? So you will leave opportunities on the table simply because the data is insufficient. That is the next big challenge. So we go from a social obtainable market to an ICP to selecting target accounts, and you want them to be engaged and use a small set of it, like 10 engaged target accounts to run, to go after with a small team is usually a great step, first step to start.
And when you talk about engaged accounts, you talk about visits to website, possibly companies who've been in our, let's say, events or webinars, or so talking about that. Okay.
Yeah.
I would also, what about like, if we expand that layer a bit, you talk about the engaged accounts. What if you get some market signals or some sort of information about, you know, you have the SaaS vertical and then you see that they're hiring, for example, certain profile people.
Yeah.
For example, if you're selling, or they're expanding to new markets.
Yeah.
So sort of this type of information that comes from, you know, not from the behavioral information, but from the, you know, the internet. So how do you find combining these types of bits of information with the engagement data?
Yeah, this is the ultimate data set that we are looking for. So we have the engagement that they show on your channels or with your sales reps, and then you have the intent signals from the market. And to combine that picture, that will give you the true list of accounts to go after, right? Because you know that if they're hiring for a position that your service can help help solve, right, the problem that occurs, which is why they're hiring, or they're looking for a certain software stack. That if you combine engagement with intent, that will give you a golden list to go after. And it's hard to get that full data picture, right? On the engagement side, it's already tricky, because, for instance, you can see web visits if they have accepted your cookies. For instance, in HubSpot, if they have accepted your cookies, you can, and they filled out a form or clicked on a link, you can track them. But if they have not, you can't. So you will already need a good data provider to tell you based on IP, look, they are on your website. Because if you just use your own tracking with cookies, you will miss a lot of them. So a majority of your market has not accepted your cookies, but might be on your channels. So that is a big black box already. That's the first one. And then we have the intent signals, right? How do you know that they're in market for a certain kind of software, or that they're hiring for a position that relates to your product or service? That info is almost always missing. But it's so crucial. If you look at account research, right? So we have now selected in our example, we have now selected 10 target accounts that fit that ICP tier one criteria in the SaaS vertical. You would want to know, it's crucial to know who are in the buying committee, right? Because usually you identify a few buying roles like decision maker, budget holder, blocker. Those are very key roles in an account in your GTM ABM strategy. So that is also super important, because if you're going to approach these accounts, you need to know who's in there, right? When we talk about personalization, you will send a message that is way different to a head of marketing than you would to a CFO. And you want to know, who is that CFO? How long has he or she been at the company? What is driving them? What are they posting on social? And just to know who are in the account, it's so crucial to do proper targeting in your campaign and the level of personalization that really gets you the meeting in the end. So it's not just knowing the most engaged and or in market accounts, but also who are at those accounts, and what can we use from the info there to drive our personalization, to drive our messaging.
It's almost like, hey, first name, and then since you are, and then title. That's not it. Like, that's just not enough these days, because you'll just get, everybody does that. You'll just get, you'll drown in the flood of emails that it's sent. But sometimes, why not highlight a recent change in strategy? prospect has had. Like, hey, I noticed that you just had some layoffs. I noticed that you opened up a new office in Amsterdam. I noticed that you recently got funding. But also just tying that also to what you do. And I think that gives a very compelling personalized story. And I think it really, some might say that, okay, is it worth the trouble? But I think it is, especially when you go to higher ACV offerings, that you really spend time to personalize your messaging and approach, because otherwise you will just drown in the flood of information that the prospect is already getting.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that that example that you just pulled up on the personalization level. I mean, the reason you're getting all those emails that are meant to be personal but are not is because usually companies select too many accounts to go after. And then they will just use a HubSpot sequence where they automatically populate some of the fields. And then, it doesn't work. So don't do that, guys. That is not personal. It just looks like it, but it's not being perceived that way by the recipient. And what is personal is doing, like, even if it's just a few minutes of account research, and you will already in a tool like Vinu see that indeed they got funding or they just opened up a new office, look at their LinkedIn profile, what have they posted about it. If you incorporate that, you already outperform 90% of your competitors because you've actually shown an interest in it. A message is received as unique if an element is in there which can only relate to them. If they read the message and they think like, this can really only be about me, because probably no other company or person like myself is in this situation right now, that's where you want to go after. And that data is crucial in your personalization tactics. Yeah, so to recap, the GTM strategy process is as follows. You will start with your revenue distribution analysis, look at where you have obtained revenue so far. That will give you a starting point. Then at the verticals that come out on top, define your ICPs, and especially look at the revenue potential per tier. So you will divide them into tiers, and then look at the companies that you can service and that you can actually acquire, because some companies will be excluded. And that serviceable, obtainable number, that is what you want to go after. Within that obtainable market, you will have an X amount of ICPs that have actually shown more interest or more engaged, have shown intent. Those are the ones you want to go after. And for those accounts, you want to do a deep dive account research, defining all the buying committee members. And for the most important buying committee members, find the signals like new hiring, new funding, new office, and use those data points to really nail the personalization when you do your outreach and when you do your campaign. And if you follow this process and show them that you actually care on a personal level and make it unique, you will win. That is my experience.
When companies try to implement this kind of system, why does it usually fail? If it fails,
it is because of the data, and it happens on multiple points, multiple aspects, right? And the first one is having the reliable data to make that analysis on your addressable market is so crucial, because if you have data points missing, you might allocate budget to the wrong vertical. And even more important, when you do your account research, equally important, I should say, when you do your account research and look for the engagement and the intent, and you have not, if you don't have access to that intent data, you're going to miss out on companies that are in market. And that is really, I've seen clients leave business on the table because the intent signals were either ignored or they did not have it in their data stack. And that is really just bottom line, leaving money on the table. It's really as simple as that, and it happens that way.